I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan, and we are kicking off the final hour of the show already. This sucker has flown by. If you missed any part of today's program, no problem. Now you can rewind up to 24 hours with radio.com Rewind. Download the app, select our station, and go back in time. We love having Andy Benoit on. He is really smart, studies the film, X's and O's, and just great analyzing football. Andy, you were with MMQB and SI for so long when we used to have you on. You know, Tom Brady may have just played his last game for the Patriots. I feel like that should have been a story when we had you on right at the end of the MMQB stuff there. Like, is this your final segment with Grant and Danny? You're the big free agent, not Brady, not Rivers, man. I'm excited to see what's next.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I am too. I've been enjoying it, and I'm maybe doing some front office stuff at some point. I know this. I've loved football more this year than ever, even though I wasn't writing for Sports Illustrated in the second half of it. I've had a chance to watch more film than ever, and it's very satisfying. And you can't quite get fully satisfied with it. The more you learn, the less you feel like you know.
Well, good luck to you wherever you end up here soon. It's going to be fun to watch play out. But let's talk a little rock with you right now. Scott Turner has been added by the Redskins. He's kind of an unknown. Only a handful of games at the end of the season and control of that offense as the play caller. What did you find out about his tendencies, how he views offense?
Well, you know, that's probably a difficult one to answer because they were having to play around their quarterback, quite frankly, at that point in the season. They were minus Cam Newton, of course, and they were trying to figure out if it's Allen or if it's Will Greer. So it's hard to judge a play caller who's probably working around his quarterback. I would imagine, you know, I know Scott a little bit. I've watched film with him a few times. He has an answer for everything, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, he knows the full game. He sees the big picture of things. I think he's probably quarterback friendly, if I had to guess. So what can we do to make things easier on our QB, which is how any good offensive coach should be. His dad is a big believer in downfield passing, not just airing it out, but stretching the field a little bit. Routes that might go 10 yards in one system, maybe go 12 yards in a Norv Turner system. Scott's going to know Norv's offense very well. Scott's coached in that offense for a lot of his career. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I also think there'll be some cutting edge type stuff, the read option, the RPOs. You know, Scott Turner was the one that kind of brought the RPOs to the NFL a few years ago. He doesn't get the credit for it, but when he was with Carolina and Cam Newton's rookie season, they started doing some of that stuff, and then they were doing some of that stuff in Minnesota when he was there with Teddy Bridgewater, and it caught on with the media years later with other guys. But Scott Turner's been ahead of the curve in a lot of things over his career.
What kind of system, maybe with a couple permutations and specifics here in your mind, Andy, does Dwayne Haskins need, and how close do you think Scott Turner will be to providing that?
I think it's a good fit. I think Haskins, ideally, you do want more of a downfield type of system with him because he's not a twitchy quarterback. He's a little bit more methodical. He's more of a big, strong pocket passer type of guy. The plays are going to take a little bit longer to unfold with him, and that's fine as long as you have the right offense around a guy like that. So I think Turner will do a nice job with that. I do think also Haskins is more athletic than we probably would imagine. He did look better on film than I thought he would in that sense. I don't think he's totally immobile, so you probably could do the RPO read option type stuff. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson, of course, but there's some stuff to work with there. But at the end of the day, you want to do what's best for the strengths of your quarterback, and Haskins' strengths will be as a big, strong, classic pocket passer.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, if you don't mind, Andy, and talk Jack Del Rio for a second. He gets brought in. He's going to run a 4-3. I think the 4-3 versus the 3-4 at this point is kind of overrated because of how often you're in base. But Del Rio has run different defenses with Denver and with Carolina, where he's inherited, you know, the worst groups in the league and turned them into a top five group within a year. Is he as good a coach as his resume suggests?
I think so. Yeah, I do. And I agree with you 100%. That whole 3-4-4-3 thing gets totally overblown. The only team that really is a 3-4, and what we actually mean by that, they play two gaps, is New England. Detroit maybe a little bit. Washington's done that a little bit over the years. Del Rio's not going to do a lot of that. So it doesn't matter how you line up. It's how you play your gaps. And Del Rio, his history suggests his guys are going to be penetrating and shooting through the gaps rather than just trying to clog the gaps. I think what he's always done very well is capitalize on his team's greatest strengths. So if he has Von Miller, he's not blitzing a whole lot. If he has great corners, he might bring some pressure. He's a nimble guy. He has an identity and a foundation. It's classic 4-3 football, classic cover 3 type of scheme, but he has a lot of room to adjust it to play to the strengths of his players. And so in Washington, that would probably be those guys, the interior defensive linemen. And what do you do with there? And Del Rio, the last time he had interior D linemen as good as the guys you'll have in Washington, I think off the top of my head, I could be missing someone, but it's probably back in the early 2000s when he had the Jacksonville Jaguar guys, and I was a kid back then, so I don't know what he was doing schematically with those guys.
Andy, and our buddy Andy Benoit's with us. Nobody watches more film. Great analyst here on Grant and Danny. Just back to Kevin O'Connell specifically, how big a loss is this? Because we saw some of the growth of Haskins, and it looked like they were making beautiful music together. I mean, listen, the Redskins were bad, but down the stretch, you saw the offense start to do more things. It seemed like O'Connell had more and more influence. Haskins was growing. Is this a major loss in your mind? What's O'Connell going to end up being?
Well, O'Connell's going to be a star coach somewhere, wherever he goes. I don't know where he'll be next, but I'm not worried about Kevin O'Connell. If he, you know, he's joining the market at kind of the a little bit towards the end of the musical chairs, so he might have to be patient for this year, and then his real next stepping stone comes in 2021 or whatever it is. But he's going to be a really good coach for a really long time in the NFL, and he's already a really good coach. So he's innovative. He sees the game through a schematic standpoint first and foremost, I think. And then he knows how to teach it to quarterbacks. Obviously, he was a quarterback. But there's an easiness to his communication. So I'm optimistic for him. But, you know, I understand what Washington's doing there as well. Ron Rivera's a head coach. He has a long relationship with Scott Turner, who's also a good young offensive coach. You want to have someone that knows how to teach the system you want to run. That's what you're hired for. So it makes sense on all fronts. And it's probably a good opportunity for O'Connell to strike out on his own, because really the benefit in Washington to him to some degree was, could he be the head coach in waiting there? And when he was there under Jay Gruden, and they changed staff and got rid of Gruden during the year, and obviously they didn't feel they were ready to do that, so going somewhere else is probably best for all parties involved. Now,
of the hirings to this point, now that you've got Rule in Carolina, Joe Judge to the Giants, Mike McCarthy to the Cowboys, Ron Rivera with the Redskins, the Browns still trying to figure out who their next head man's going to be. Which one did you like the most? Which is the biggest head scratcher?
Well, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about Rule and Joe Judge. My job has never demanded to cover special teams. So I'm not a special teams expert at all, and I have not met Joe Judge. I'm not a college guy, so I've not met Matt Rule. McCarthy in Dallas will be interesting because that's an offensive guy, and we've seen how they built, and they've had an offensive head coach already with Jason Garrett. He's keeping Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. I'm really curious to see who will be in charge of the scheme and play calling there. I think, guys, honestly, the answer to your question might be the vacancy right now in Cleveland. There are so many good candidates available and out there, because I don't think a lot of people anticipated some of these hires that we've seen. So the Browns have their choice of a lot of good guys. I think Kevin Stefanski's a star head coach in waiting. Josh McDaniels is ready. Robert Saleh's probably ready. There's a lot of good guys to choose from right now.
Andy, always appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
Andy Benoit, you remember him from his work at MMQB and SI. Much appreciate him hopping on G&D to talk about the new coordinators here in town. At the bottom of the hour at 1:30, we can reminisce about 20 years ago when the Redskins won a home game at FedEx for the only
20
time.
20 years.
But next, let's go around the league with the games that are going to be played this weekend in the divisional round. gets you ready with some of the best audio from the locker rooms of those teams on G&D right here on The Fan.
There is no offseason, not at the St. James anyway. DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment, the St. James. It's a sports utopia. There's something for everybody there. The complex, it houses multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues, right? Two regulation-sized ice rinks, a turf field house, gymnastics center, even an Olympic-sized pool. And coming up in, I think it's like, what day is today? The 8th? Couple weeks. January 18th through the 20th, they're hosting the inaugural Kevin Durant MLK Classic Basketball Tournament, featuring some of the top high school teams and players from around the country. It's an amazing facility. Premium Health Club offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights and dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve those body goals. Every new member gets two, count them, two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. And now, for a limited time, join the St. James and pay zero initiation fees and get $250 off sports programming. Just visit the stjames.com/2020. stjames.com/2020.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Getting ready for the divisional round in the NFL playoffs starts on Saturday. Two games to get the palate prepared for the grand finale that will be Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Sunday 3:05, and then the Seahawks and the Packers at 6:40 DC time on Sunday night. But let's start with your Saturday evening nightcap, the Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP award this year. He turned 23 yesterday. He became the first quarterback in league history to ever have as many 100-yard rushing performances while throwing for 30 touchdowns. Also the first quarterback in history with 30 touchdown passes and 1,000 yards rushing. Just an amazing season for the kid. Mike Vrabel is the head coach and the defensive coordinating mind for the Titans, and he knows they'll have their hands full.
I mean, any time that you have a quarterback, and especially a scheme that forces you to defend the entire field, you know, both laterally and horizontally. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes, you know, guys being good tacklers, sound tacklers, swarming to the football. You know, it's a huge challenge. You know, we'll have to play our best and prepare these next couple days to, you know, give us a chance to get into third and long. They're number one in third down defense because they have so many third and ones, third and twos, third and threes where they're able to still run the football, but also throw it, and that's why they're number one in the league in third down and in scoring.
Titans come in 10-7 after their playoff win, but 14-2 Baltimore at home is going to be a heavy favorite in Charm City. John Harbaugh has had an extra week to prepare his team.
They're locked in. They're focused. They're excited. They understand this is it. This is what you work for, and it is a new season, and they're very, very. There's an intensity, you know. I think there's an intensity all the time. But the other part of it is you want to have your best practice every single time out. We always talk about our best Wednesday, our best Thursday, our best Friday. Better than anybody else in football, better than anybody in the history of football. And we're chasing that, all those things, every single week. I think, you know, you have to do that to be able to perform at a high level, to give yourself a chance. And that is the thing that it stays the same. You know, you try to carry that over into the playoffs.
I don't think they'll miss Mark Ingram from a running game perspective. Where they might miss him is that he's always been an underrated pass catcher, right? In New Orleans, he wasn't as good a pass catcher as Alvin Kamara. There's probably one other guy in the NFL out of the backfield who is, and that's Christian McCaffrey. Ingram catches the ball a little bit, and that helps make them more dynamic. Gus Edwards is a downhill thumping SOB. He is not here to catch passes. He's here to punish linebackers and safeties who dare come tackle.
They'd also miss him, and it's not definitive he's out to this point, correct?
I thought he was out.
He did not practice yesterday. I have not seen him ruled out anywhere. I thought there was still a possibility of a pitch count.
So you may be right about that. So the latest I saw, or I thought, looking at Pro Football Reference and some other spots, that he was out with that calf injury. I could be wrong about that, though. I would probably sit him out just given, you know, the scope of this thing and really have him healthy, hopefully, if I can get through this one. But one interesting thing to watch there, Ravens defense, this is as good a test as they'll have had, really, in months. Tennessee, you don't associate them with offense because you're used to seeing them just hand it off and have Marcus Mariota flub his way up and down the field to 12 points. Tannehill leads the league in yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt, and has been really dynamic as a passer to go with Derrick Henry. You didn't see it this first-round game because Tennessee didn't need to throw the football because they were bludgeoning New England on the ground. You'll see them put the ball to the air here with Tannehill. Ravens' toughest test on defense in some time.
The Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers are the dress rehearsal to that Ravens-Titans game. That's a 4:35 kickoff in San Francisco for Minnesota. Now 11-6 after winning in the opening round. They're at 13-3 San Fran. For the Vikings, really a tale of two halves. They came out against the Saints, and they're able to run the ball. Dalvin Cook had almost 70 rushing yards on his first 10 attempts. The rest of the game, he ran the ball 18 times for basically 25 yards. They completely shut him down. They made Kirk Cousins win the game, and he was able to. Cook has been banged up for much of the last several weeks, but he says that's different than him being injured.
No, I ain't never got injured. I got banged up. Injury and getting banged up, that's two different things. I didn't get injured this year. I got banged up. We took a precaution of sitting me out and, you know, taking care of me so I could be ready for the stretch. And, you know, I was good. You know, I never get down about being hurt. That comes with the game. That come with playing physical and playing my position. You know, some guys can, you know, shoulder the load a little different. Some guys are different. You know, I'm just a little different than other guys. So, you know, I can play through a lot of things. And like I said, I just got banged up. I didn't get injured.
This team is just so different with him on the field. He's such a dynamic player.
Yeah.
I loved him at Florida State because he was a threat to score every time he touched the ball. I don't know that he's on that level in the NFL. But screen passes seem to go for 20 and 25 regularly. You give him a seam at the line of scrimmage, he gets to the second level before he gets touched. There was a first down run against the Saints. It was just like a toss to the outside, to the near side of the field, where he picked up 15 in the first half. And I mean, he literally got 12 before anyone was able to breathe on him. He's so quick, and he changes the entire offense for the Vikings. They got him healthy at the right time. The problem is San Francisco will be able to stop the run, and more than anything else, they pride themselves on getting to the quarterback. And you know this from watching Cousins here. When you give him time in the pocket and he can be comfortable, he'll pick you apart. He gets flustered, though, with pressure. He does not handle very well getting hit early in games.
He doesn't. It's not quite the Patrick Ramsey heat-seeking missile to the nearest defender, but he's got that turtle crouch where he starts to feel it, and then the ghosts of previous hits. I'm with you, and that's the key to the game for San Francisco. By the way, while Cook was talking in that clip, it reminded me of one thing, and I know it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Remember when Darius Geis was had that little sit-down interview on the news, and he's like, why are you calling me injury-prone? He, like, threatened to fight anybody that did that, and said, I'm not injury-prone at all, and he's absolutely injury-prone. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. Really nice guy, and I feel bad, and I like everything about him, and I like how cool he's been to fans.
Players don't like hearing that they got hurt.
He's injury-prone. I'm sorry, Darius. You're a really good dude. I enjoy having you here. I feel bad for you. You're injury prone. That's what it reminded me of for some reason.
Jimmy Garoppolo, a couple of years ago, was basically anointed the next great quarterback in the NFL. He starts his first playoff game this weekend for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners.
Honestly, I don't really look at the stats that much. I know it sounds cliche and everything, but as long as the quarterback's winning, I think he's doing his job and putting his team in a good position to win. That's, you know, as the quarterback, that's your job.
QB wins, though. He had good stats this year. 27 touchdowns, 13 picks, 3,900 yards, and a 102 rating. Almost identical numbers to Kirk Cousins, his opposing passer, in this matchup this weekend. Those are your two games on Saturday in the NFL. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan, a 20-year anniversary of one of the more epic plays in the history of the National Football League. We'll discuss that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's January 8th, 2020. On January 8th, 2000, the Tennessee Titans were playing the Buffalo Bills in a playoff game. And with a few seconds left, they were absolutely dead in the water. They'd lost. Buffalo was going to be moving on. And then in Nashville that year, the Music City Miracle took place. It involved former Maryland Terrapin, Frank Wycheck, throwing the ball back to Kevin Dyson, who would catch the ball and go all the way to the crib. The Titans that year, you'll remember, Danny, were a yard away from winning the Super Bowl.
Exactly right.
After winning that game, they went eventually to the Super Bowl to play Kurt Warner's Rams. It's crazy to think that was 20 years ago. Do you remember that year of that Super Bowl, and I don't know if everyone lost power, but we had a huge storm here in Virginia or something happened.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a lot of people were without cable. And I remember we sat around our kitchen table. This is at my old house that I lived at with my parents. I was, at the time, 10 or 11. And we watched like a 13-inch black and white TV with like rabbit ears on the top to watch that Super Bowl. It was fun. It was probably the worst viewing experience of a Super Bowl I'll have in my entire life. But it was cool because we were one of the few people in town that had the TV up and going to watch the game at all. But anyway, 20 years ago today, the Music City Miracle, that touchdown to propel the Titans past the Bills. One of the more iconic plays in the history of sports, and I think it's one of those plays you'll always remember exactly where you were. I was sitting in the press box at FedEx Field getting ready to watch the Redskins and the Lions. Where were you?
I was at my friend Pat Hines' house. I went over there because we were both in town still. School had started later for both of us, right? Because I was in college at that point, and everybody else had gone back. He and I hadn't gone back yet, even though I only had to go a couple blocks down.
You were at GW already?
Yeah. And so I went over there to watch the game. He's not that big of a sports fan, but we were watching the Redskins game together. And we're going back and forth. And, I go, okay, I've got this categorized. The Bills are winning this game. It's one of those, they're going to do a stupid lateral play. Everyone's going to get tired. Someone will fall down, and that's the end of it. I remember watching that live with him. We're just agape. Could not believe it. He immediately said, that's a forward pass. Not even after review, right. He was like, that's a forward pass. And they couldn't decide after review because Wycheck was kind of falling away.
A lot of people still think it was.
Well, if you're from Buffalo, you think it was.
Well, yes,
ask Luke Russert if he thinks it was.
This was the play that day 20 years ago.
And take my chances on a return.
Dyson.
As opposed to squib kicking it. Let him get it with about 12 seconds to go and a possibility for a play.
Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson. Dyson Darius says on the play, it is a touchdown, but we need to look at that replay.
Yeah, you do.
Did they have instant replay back then?
Yeah.
I thought that was like the first or second year of it.
No, they had it. And this was we got to figure this out. And they didn't, it was the classic, if that had been called a forward pass on the field, it would have stayed that. That to me was as close as it could possibly be to being, right in the line between lateral and forward.
If they called it a forward pass on the field,
it would have stayed.
It stays that way as well. And I guess you blow the play dead maybe or what have you, but one of the greatest plays of all time. I'm not old enough to know, like, Band is on the field, you know, this Stanford Cal play. I have no file on that, but I'm sure that's one of them. If you're old enough, the Immaculate Reception, Franco Harris, is one of those plays. But that Music City Miracle is on that list in terms of if you put together a handful of things in sports that you'll always remember where you were when you were watching it, that's one of them.
Do you think it still would have happened? I mean, just by the way, in that game, Rob Johnson, 10 of 22 for 131 yards.
Different NFL, but true.
And he was better than Steve McNair, who was 13 out of 24 for 76 yards and an interception.
It's funny that the game was so popular then.
I know.
Because it was a lot of the stuff that is now kind of boring and antiquated and that dinosaurs like Bill Callahan are trying to bring back. But if you look, like I mentioned, later that day, Brad Johnson and the Redskins won a playoff game, and he was 15 of 31 for like 150 yards.
That's why when like Kurt Warner was doing what he was doing, it was like running laps around everybody else. But the point is, what I was bringing up is, Tennessee goes on to the Super Bowl that year. If they don't, do you think that's as memorable? Do you think it kind of gets lost, where it's a, do you remember this kind of game instead of this is one of the iconic plays, right? Because you think of the catch, Dwight Clark in the corner of the end zone to beat the Cowboys. Thank you very much, Joe Montana, Dwight Clark.
Right.
Immaculate reception. These are winning plays. This is a wild card game, basically. And if Tennessee doesn't keep winning, do you think people remember it the same? I don't know the answer to that.
That's a good question. I think so, honestly, because the play was so crazy.
Crazy.
There have been others since that were equally as wacky. Like that miracle play for the Dolphins last year when they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, when Gronkowski just sort of gently fell to the left to try to make a tackle.
But they were bad, and it was the regular season. That play, if you're a Dolphins fan, I think will hold up for a while. Like you'll be able to go into a sports bar in Miami or call into a radio show and you say, hey, remember the play against the Patriots in 2018?
Uh-huh.
It's our swinging gate. Like you could reference it, everyone will know what you mean by it. But on a national level, nobody remembers it because of when it happened. So, yeah, if that was in the Super Bowl or something, it would be on the level with the Immaculate Reception or the Band is on the field. But I still think if you're doing some type of documentary where you're putting together the 10 most stunning plays in the history of the NFL, certainly, maybe in all of sports, I think that makes the cut. It's a playoff game. Someone's getting eliminated. And in the span of a few seconds, Titans players and their fans knew that their season was over, and then they were on to the next round.
And the Bills are winning. I mean, the Bills have this game won. It's 16-15 in that moment. They have it. The game is over, right? It's just a squib kick, and it's ripped away from them.
You know,
Unreal.
They haven't won a playoff game since then.
I know.
They've only played in a few. I think their drought after that was until 2017, and now they've been to two of the last three playoffs. But I think total, they're 0-3 in the playoffs since.
Oh, yeah.
And their last playoff win was 95. 5 years before that, 25 years ago. But you think we're beaten down as Redskins fans, and we are. When this team doesn't win playoff games, they've got two since then, since that day, counting that one as one, that afternoon against the Lions, and one since that. But
man,
the Bills
man.
Have zero. And that heartbreak that day, you know, Griffin getting hurt, and you had the lead on the Seahawks fall apart. You got out to the early 11-0 lead against the Packers, and you lost. I mean, there were some stingers in there when that 14-13 loss the next week to the Bucs when you were up 13-0 after a Brian Mitchell kick return for a touchdown in Tampa with Sean King at quarterback came storming back with that great defense. I mean, there have been some tough losses to swallow. Remember, they had a chance to win a field goal at the end, win that game with Brett Conway out of a Dan Turk snap and a Matt Turk hold.
Botched
and
snap,
the Dan Turk, late Dan Turk, his snap was bad, and his brother Matt couldn't get the ball down. So it ended up being Brett Conway running around and throwing the ball up in the air, and the season was over.
They almost made it.
But all those painful losses that the Redskins have had, nothing compares to the Bills fans that dealt with that miracle loss to the Titans 20 years ago today. And as I started the show saying, that same day, which you remember because you remember that play, that was the last time the Redskins won a playoff game at home. We have all these topics and debates and questions about why is the atmosphere what it is at FedEx Field? Well, they won a playoff game at home when I was 11 years old on January 8th, 2000. That was the last time.
And so I still hold this to be true, by the way, for that 99 team. Anytime the Redskins play Tampa and a call goes the Redskins' way, I say we're still owed about 10,000 of those calls because Mike Alstott was down before the goal line, and they just couldn't figure it out.
That was the
That was the 05. Yeah.
05 game. The one that they won.
Yeah.
Because his elbow rammed down at like the half yard line.
Yeah. He was down and they decided, no, it's just a touchdown. And they couldn't figure it out. And it's like, what's the point of having any replay if you can't figure that out?
I think that's one of the reasons I've always loved Chris Sims so much when he comes on our show as an analyst. Because just hearing his name reminds me of joy.
Yeah.
It's one of the few times in my life that one of my favorite teams won a playoff game up until pretty recently when the Nats and Caps gave me actual joy. But there was a time a few years ago where at like 28 years old, hearing Chris Sims' name was great because the Redskins won a playoff game that one time.
We won that game that time.
That's the playoff win in the 2000s.
Uh-huh.
Grant and Danny on the Fan will get you ready for the Wednesday night in sports ahead. Big game for the Caps in the Metro this evening. Also, some other things on the docket, non-sports, that could be fun tonight. You're listening to The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After a few day hiatus, after the Patriots lost on a final play pick six, Tom Brady took to Instagram today to speak to Patriots fans. Lengthy post. I won't read the whole thing. There's like a Teddy Roosevelt quote in there. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, man.
But
as a lad.
Right. But here's the end of it. That is what team is all about in both life and football. Failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from failure, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, and play yourself in the arena again. And that's right. He goes on to say, it's right where you'll find me. Because I know I still have more to prove.
Ah.
So he's saying, place yourself back in the arena. That's where you're going to find me. I still have more to prove. I take this as I'm playing football. I know a lot of you don't want me to. I know a lot of you are saying it's time to retire. I know a lot of you don't want me to play elsewhere. But he's going to force the Patriots' hand here. You either keep me or I'm playing somewhere else. Because the last sentence of this lengthy post, which he thought about for a couple of days, the thing he left fans on was, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, place yourself in the arena again, and that's right where you will find me because I know I still have more to prove. How do you take that as anything other than Tom Brady's going to keep playing?
See you back here next year, right? Pretty basic.
I don't know if he'll be there next year.
Well, you know what I mean.
Like, we'll see him in the NFL next
year. You'll see me on the I'll tell you what, if this turns out he doesn't play for the Patriots, you need to draw a circle on the ground outside, stand in it like Andy Dufresne escaping from Shawshank. In the circle of correctness, because you have gone harder with this than anybody I've heard. You're not calling. You're not like hot taking saying it's going to happen.
No, but I've said I don't think it will happen. I just what did I say? I think there's like a 40% chance.
You're like it's the idea is growing on me. And I'm
it
like,
is growing on me. I'm Mark Wahlberg all of a sudden. I'm telling you, man, the idea is growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, I gave you a Wahlberg accent.
You did.
I mean to.
It's okay.
What do you guys think about it, huh? Could he play for another team? What are you doing here? Say, how do you mother for me?
But you're giving it a 0% chance.
I think it's like a 0.2. And my only argument, and it's not a good argument, is it's Brandy and the Patriots. I sound like the worst.
I'm speculating on this stuff, but stop me when I say something that is irresponsible.
Okay.
Bill Belichick doesn't feel like he needs Tom Brady. Bill Belichick would prefer to start with somebody different, younger next year. Bill Belichick goes to Kraft and says, if McDaniels is in Cleveland, let's say, why don't we just have a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback. They have options. They could trade for someone that isn't available, like Matt Stafford. They could bring in someone who is available, like, I don't know, if Drew Brees left New Orleans or if Phil Rivers leaves the Chargers. Not that Phil Rivers had a banner season or anything like that.
But I get your point.
This offseason, the quarterback class is legit. Not to mention, the draft class is going to be pretty good. Jake Fromm, I don't think he's a great NFL quarterback in waiting, but I think he's going to be the starter on some teams that are around 9 or 10 wins several times during his career. I mean, that guy can play a little bit. You surround him with the right talent, he can win football games, I think. He's not going to beat you. I don't think there's a ton of over-the-top athleticism that makes him the next great star in the NFL. But he declared today. So you now have potential first-rounders in Joe Burrow, who goes one, Tua Tagovailoa, who goes in probably the top five, Justin Herbert's going to go somewhere in the middle of the first round, and possibly Fromm. I'm not convinced. I don't think it's a lock he goes in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to take someone in the second round, like the Broncos did with Drew Lock, why wouldn't you trade up to the back of the first round a la Lamar Jackson at 32 and get that extra year of that quarterback? The whole point of drafting a QB, other than just getting a good young player at the position, is how cheap they are before you have to pay them. And if you draft them before pick 33 as opposed to after, you have a whole nother year of them being cheap.
Uh-huh.
A whole nother year.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Get back in the first round with it.
So you might have four first-round quarterbacks for the Patriots, plus all the free agents that are available. If you're going to get into the quarterback market, this is the offseason to probably do it. No?
Because there's options, as you said. I mean, you start thinking about some of the veterans that we just think of as part of the furniture. Like, I cannot imagine Phil Rivers not a Charger. I can't imagine Drew Brees not a Saint. Tom Brady not a Patriot. And yet, those possibilities are here. All it takes is one breakdown. All, you know, if you're in the Drew Brees camp, for example, and Brees is a wonderful dude by all accounts, right? So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that GM and ownership and everybody sits down and they say something he doesn't like. That doesn't sound like we're grateful for your years of service. Right? Somehow he feels marginalized. You couldn't see any possibility of him then saying, you know what, screw this, watch me go somewhere else. And everyone's going to be like, hey, Drew, don't leave the dome. Don't leave Sean Payton. It won't make any sense. And he's got to prove it to go somewhere else? It's not the craziest thing ever. Do I think it's likely? No. I don't think any of these things are likely.
Yeah,
I think
all these old guys are staying. Less than 50%.
I feel like all the old guys are staying. And that's that. But man, it is potentially very deep in terms of the marketplace. Potentially.
What do you got on the docket tonight?
On the Darnell? What is that? Do I have anything to
watch a little Caps Flyers, maybe?
Oh, yeah, the back-to-back. The NHL schedule kills me, man. So, yeah, do a little Caps Fly. Hopefully get to the end of Don't Bleep with Cats.
Did you watch any last night?
I got about 30 minutes in. I'm still got about 15 minutes left in episode 2 and all of episode 3.
This is a slow burn for you.
It's so hard to find a window because I'm the only one who wants to watch it in the house.
But you do like it.
It's incredible. Incredible. Luca Magnotta, dude.
If you want to tweet at Danny, you can do so. He's funny, Danny. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Thanks to Tom and Brendan, as always. If you missed any part of today's show, you can now go back in time up to 24 hours and listen to anything you may have missed or want to hear again. Go to the radio.com app and open our station. It's the radio.com rewind function. It is pretty cool. We're also available for you at grantanddanny.com and thefandc.com. Flash audio. Chat's up next.
No, or what?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.